It was the Apostle Paul, in dealing with the church at Corinth, who shared with them these words. "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this,' He said, 'in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, He took the cup, and after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" In remembrance of me. As I thought of us beginning a new year, remembering, there are three distinctive things we need to remember as we come to this table today. The first is the destructive power of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't often think of it much in the world. We don't talk about sin. Is not a popular subject. In Romans 5:12, it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of Adam and Eve's choice, you and I live in a fallen world. Now, we are, those of us that know the Lord are redeemed people, but we live in a fallen world. And if there's anything, all you got to do is turn on the local news or turn on the national news or get on the internet or anything else, and you will see all of the evil and all of the awfulness of our world. And I'm not trying to make you feel down. It's just the reality of what it is. And that is because of sin. Aleppo. If you can imagine living in Aleppo, Syria. Children in hospitals that have been bombed in the name of power because of sin. Every little lie you ever told, every cross word you ever said, every person that ever hurt you or you hurt them was because of sin. We need to remember the power, the destructive power that has ruled our world in a way. As we gather around this table, it's not just because Jesus was a good fella. He didn't come just to give us a season to celebrate. He came so that He might take care of the destructive power of sin. When we think of the destructive power of sin, we're brought to the idea of the need for a Savior. We've got a whole world full of people thinking they don't need anything except their work or their ability or whatever they can muster. I'm as good as anybody else. Most of you are better. But I have a secret. I have a secret that the Apostle Paul wrote about when he spoke of the destructive power of sin which had passed to all people. Every child, every born, is born with the sin nature in them. That beautiful little will that we saw. Will's going to get to a point and people say, "I don't believe in inherited sin." Well, why does a child learn to lie? Do you teach them? Perry, you're going to teach your grandson how to lie? But he'll figure out how to go when you ask him, "Did he do it?" Now, I didn't do that at my house much. My brother and sisters, they did that a lot. My nickname was, what was it, Rose? Not me, I didn't do. Not me, I didn't do it. My father would ask me, "Who did this, David?" That's my older brother. He still has a complex to this day. In Ephesians 2, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin." What does the dead mean? It means you're going to be dead physically, but it means you were dead spiritually. Every one of us that is still in our sin, that has not received the redemptive offer of what we gather at this table for, is headed to eternity in a place that God never wanted any of us to go, and that's a place called hell. You see, hell wasn't made for for mean people. It was made for people that reject Christ. But the Scripture says that God doesn't wish that any of us go there. But if you want to go, you may go. He said we were all dead. We were walking according to the course of this world, of the ways of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, of the spirit that is now working in sons of disobedience. Among them you too lived in the lust of your flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were all, have all been stained. We have all been scarred. We were in need of a Savior. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together. How? Through Christ Jesus, Christ alone. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean this is one of the heavenly places, but that's our future promise. When I draw my last breath on this earth and I awaken to new life, I will be more alive than I've ever been before. And I will be alive forever because of something I did know. It's like the little boy came down front to the preacher during the invitation one time. The preacher said, "Son, what do you want to talk about?" He said, "Well, I did my part and God did His part." Kind of upset the pastor. He thought, "What do you mean you did your part?" He said, "I did the sinning and Jesus did the saving." It's just that simple. Listen to what it says. So that in the ages to come, He might show us the surpassing riches of His grace through Christ Jesus. And verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved by faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not the results of works, so that no one can boast." Nobody can work their way to heaven. It is impossible. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. And you know, the Scripture says, well, work out your salvation. That's afterwards. That's allowing the Spirit to live in you and through you. But you can't do anything to be saved except say yes to Jesus. Now, what's the one unforgivable sin? Blasphemy. What is blasphemy? Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Some people don't understand that. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is basically nobody comes to Jesus unless the Spirit draws them. You don't choose to come. The Spirit's drawing you. When you are being drawn to Christ, to this table, to understand what Jesus did for you, and you go, "I'm not ready," or "I'm not interested," or "not now," you are committing blasphemy. And that is an unforgivable sin. Why is it unforgivable? Because it means that you are going to reject God's offer of Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, I'm rejecting it right now." You better not reject it right now and think you can get it later. In the book of Genesis, God begins and He says, God won't strive with man forever. If you find what He did with the flood, God said, okay, you want to be bad? I'll show you what bad is. I'll see how many of you can swim for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you tread water that long?" And He took care of the problem. But because of grace, what is grace? Unmerited favor. What's unmerited favor? That's when your daddy should have tore your tail up, Greg. Should have done that all, or Jane, when your mama should have, and she might have this service just because I asked her to. Tammy, wouldn't you like to see that? Deacon, you need to speak to your wife. I'm meddling again, okay? And they didn't do it, and it's because of grace. Because of grace. You see, God looked down, and He didn't see you as a dirty sinner. He saw you as a potential, as one of His. And He said, "I'll take care of that problem. I know you're in great need of a Savior. Because of the depth of my love, I will take care of that problem." And in Romans 5:10, it says, "While we were yet helpless, while we were sinners, while we had no hope, while we were enemies of God." In fact, it says we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. "Now having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Dr. Bailey Smith got in serious trouble as president of the Southern Baptist Convention a number of years ago when he said God didn't hear the prayers of the Jews. Oh, that upset some folks. Folks, I want to tell you that God doesn't hear the prayer of lost people or will not answer it in the way you think He will until you come into relationship with Him. That doesn't mean He doesn't hear it. What Dr. Smith meant is God's not going to answer the prayer of a lost person until that lost person hears and accepts His offer. Oh, He'll hear it, but He's not going to answer it. Until you come into relationship with Him, there is no relationship. It's like this aisle. There is a great divide. And that great divide is sin. Because you see, God says in His Word that sin and God cannot coexist. They cannot. And because God loved us, it says in John 3:16, we know that wonderful passage, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him shall have what? Eternal life." And that's not believe up here. That's come to relationship here. But you need to understand what verse 17 says. We leave that one out. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. And so we come to remember today the destructive power of sin. We come to remember the need of a Savior. I was like that little boy. I had done the sinning, and Jesus did the saving. And I put my hand into the hand of the pastor as a little boy, and my heart into the heart of the master. And that's all I had to do. "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I acknowledge my sin. And come into my life." And I experienced and have all these years, and many of you have still, the depth of God's love. And so we come to remember. Your deacons will be coming to serve with you. We celebrate here at Holloway's what's known as Open Communion. That may be different to some of you. If you were to go to a different church, if you were to go to the Episcopal Church or some other churches, they have closed communion. What does that mean? That means only members of the Episcopal Church can take communion in the Episcopal Church. If they were serving it, you'd have to sit there and just do nothing. Well, here we have open communion. What does open communion mean? It means if you believe in the Lord, if you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart, and if you're a Methodist or a Presbyterian or Church of Christ or a Catholic or any, if you're a converted Jew, you can partake with us. Now, you won't get to heaven on the first bus because you're not a Baptist. I had to throw that in there. Right, church? You know, he just goes through and he does so good and then he's just got to stop meddle. You know, that's my nature. But we come, first of all, to serve you the bread, and they come as servants to you, and then the cup in remembering all that Jesus has done for us. The reason they could light these candles. And it doesn't mean they don't remember and it's not tender and it doesn't make them wonder. The reason Robbie can sit up there and run a soundboard less than 10 days after losing his mother and losing his father this year, and he can do this for us, is because he knows that they had accepted the promise. They remembered and accepted the promise. If you're here today and you've never done that, before this bread gets to you, before this cup gets to you, you don't have to make a big show. You do need to make it public at some point. But if before it gets to you, or when it gets to you, if you want to say, "Lord, I want to partake today. I want to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart." And that's all it is. It's not, "I believe in Jesus." Even the demons believed in Jesus. Even lost people, the Jews and the Arabs, believe in Jesus. The Muslims. But it's, "I accept that Jesus died for my sin. And I want to ask Him to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart." And before you can finish the T on heart, He'll do that. We come to serve you.